What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another BTR podcast.
This is our first postseason pod for NBA and NHL, but today we're going to focus on NBA. But before we get into each series, please smash the like button and subscribe as we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah, so make sure you guys check out our latest video we dropped of the NBA, our top three contenders and our top three underdogs. Just FYI, it was filmed before the playoffs started. It just happened to be released during the playoffs. So all that information is from before the playoffs, just to make that clear. So no series and all that were intact. And yeah, we'll end this podcast on the NFL draft preview very quickly. But yeah, NBA heavy. We'll do NHL. Will be released tomorrow. But NBA, all the game twos, all series have finished game two. Three of them are, believe, at 1-1, and the rest of them are at 2-0. Let's start with the Western Conference. Let's talk about the series that everybody was talking about. It's the LA Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks, which is tied 1-1. Game one, Kawhi was missed. Kawhi missed game one, but he was not missed as the Clippers destroyed the Mavericks. And game two, Luka got his revenge, and they tied up the series 1-1. So your thoughts on the series overall?
So, I mean, so far, so good, I guess. It's 1-1. Nothing to complain about right now. For a seven-game series, 1-1's a good start. We're expecting a seven-game series no matter what. Dallas, good bounce-back win. Luka was a little bit more efficient. He still can be more efficient. Kyrie, I believe, had a better game one. Like, he was better efficiency-wise game one than game two, but he still did Kyrie things. Turns out Kawhi is not needed, I guess, because it just flip-flopped there, and they blew him out without Kawhi. They lose with Kawhi. But overall, I think, you know, Kidd deserves a lot of credit. You know, the team defense picked up a lot for Dallas because at the end of the day, they don't have any individual defense that's going to stop, like individual defenders that's going to stop Harden or Kawhi or PG. So their team defense got to pick up. Good defensive game plan for Jason Kidd. Good bounce back win for Mavericks. Luka and Kyrie are doing their things. They did their thing in game one. They dropped 64 together. Rest of the team dropped only 30. And it was just a much better team effort for Mavericks in game two. And Clippers, not so great. You know, they couldn't continue that good depth performance that they had because Powell was cooking, Mann was cooking, obviously Harden and Paul George did their thing. That was a full team effort for the Clippers in game one, but a full team effort for Mavericks in game two, leaving us with a 1-1 series so far.
So game one, like you said, the big story was there was no help. It was literally the backcourt and then nothing. Game two, yeah, you're right. Kyrie dropped his points a little bit, but PJ Washington got 18 points, and Derek Jones ended up getting 10. Everybody else, like yeah, Lively got 7, Kleber got 6. Obviously, their defense was a lot better when you look at the efficiencies. Obviously, game one, I think Dallas let it go. I hear excuses like, oh, they were preparing for Kawhi and Kawhi did not play. That's bogus.
That should help you.
that should help you because the guy who was probably Dorian Finney-Smith. Not Dorian Finney-Smith, sorry. I guess Derek Jones is their best defender. Whoever's supposed to be guarding Kawhi shifts over to PG automatically. I love the Kyrie on Harden matchup in general. I'm not sure if it's on the flip side, at least when I was watching the Dallas games. Keep in mind, we're paying attention to all the NBA and the NHL series.
We're flipping through channels.
Plus NFL draft coverage a little bit. So
we have Vegas Dallas on right now.
Yeah, so we're flipping through. So we apologize if we miss certain aspects of the game, but we're only tuning into some games we're not even going to tune into because there's no point. If we see a blowout happening, we'll just switch to another game, hockey or basketball. But this game, we had it, game two, we had it on along with the Canucks game. And especially with us, Canucks and Lakers will be slight priority. But we had this game on. So game one, going back to it, that was the thing. And then the Clippers, yeah, like James Harden stepped up when he needed to step up in game one as well.
Kawhi needs to step up.
Sorry, game one I'm talking about here.
Yeah, no.
And then Paul George also did his thing.
They all did their thing.
Zubac was the key here. Unsung with 20 points and 15 rebounds.
They all did their thing in game one.
With his size, should be out rebounding. Don't matter how good Daniel Gafford is, I get that. But he's the more physical, brutal guy. Game two, this is where I have concerns with Dallas a little bit here. They were winning, but the problem was in game two, like you said, Norm Powell, Terrence Mann, Russell Westbrook, none of these guys really shot the ball well, right, at all. James Harden went 6 for 14. Kawhi Leonard in his first game back, 7 for 17. Paul George only went 7 for... Well, he went 50%, but, like, again, 14 shots.
So,
but the problem is this. You guys gave up a lead, and they almost blew it, and this is not anywhere near what type of Kawhi you're probably going to get.
Yeah, I know, that's true, but there's a reason why they shot that bad. Because true. Their team defense was much better.
It is.
And they don't have the individual defenders to, you know, lock up, like how Lou Dort did today, as we get on later in the pod, when we bring up the Thunder and Pelican series. They don't have that. They have to play good team defense.
But that's my point.
Us all five players, and a result of that was Kawhi shot 7 for 17. You know, PG only shot 14 shots. Westbrook didn't do shit. Norman Powell didn't do anything, so...
But yeah, but that's my point, though. I don't expect that to happen. I think these guys are way better offensive players, and the other team's defense isn't... Like you said, they don't have, like, a guy that could lock down at all. So, like, I expect Kawhi to hit more contested shots on a consistent basis. I expect Norm Powell to be, this, in my opinion, a finalist for the Sixth Man of the Year. He got snubbed of the finalist part. We'll talk about the awards later. But... So that's where it's going to get scary for Dallas. Can you keep this consistency on the defensive side, right? Because I don't expect all these, especially Kawhi Leonard, to perform like this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, if Dallas brings the same effort, it's not going to be easy for Kawhi. You know, they made it easy for the Clippers, right? Everyone made a thing. Zubac dominating the paint. It was easy for Zubac, right? It wasn't easy for anyone in the Clippers, right? So don't make it easy. You're not going to stop them. You can't stop that squad. You can't stop Leonard, George, Harden. If they're all going, they're going. You can't stop that.
Yeah.
You just can't make it easy. Clippers game one, it was easy for the Clippers game one. It wasn't easy for the Clippers game
two. That's why this series is going to go seven. Because I don't expect Dallas to do this all rest of the six games. And I feel like you agree with that.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't expect the Clippers, outside of Kawhi, to be that consistent. Right? This is probably Kawhi's only bad game. He's got a warm-up in. He hasn't played for a while. He's back now. And like I said, game one, now James Harden doesn't have to be that game one James Harden, but it will be a bonus if he does it, because like you said, he might get the weaker defender out of them. Paul George can anytime hit the contested shot with his size and all that. And who knows what Zubac will do, but yeah. So overall, it's living up to the expectation of right now. The way the games went, it should go seven.
It should go seven. Right now, Dallas has the upper hand. They got their... They're coming back home with a split. That's all a road team needs to do is split. Mission accomplished for them so far in the first two games. So we'll see how the energy the Dallas fans brings and how the players react to the home crowd for both sides.
Is the only thing to look out to close it off on this for Dallas is can they get more depth scoring, especially from a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why Tim Hardaway Jr. was going to be my X factor, because that guy is either hot or cold. I think he barely played anyways. Game two, but
he got injured ankle. So yeah, maybe that's why.
But if Tim Hardaway's cooking, that's a third scorer. And if he's hot, he's hot. You can't stop that.
Yeah, because like his first game didn't do much. Second game, he got hurt. So that's the only unfortunate thing. We'll see what his health is like. But yeah, depth scoring will be the key.
And then Gafford
thing.
Needs to step it up too. Gafford was quiet for both games as well. I think Gafford had like 0 points in the second game, if I'm not mistaken.
Gafford just needs to get the push put back. Yeah, he only played 9 minutes as well.
Yeah, so he wasn't... Quiet. Well, yeah, at the end of the day, it's Luka and Kyrie. If they're going, you always have a chance of winning.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the other big series of the Western Conference. The other LA team, the Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets. You want me to go first, or do you want you want to go?
Nah, I go first. I'll just say whatever I have left.
I guess you could question me more on this, but sure.
Yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts
on
your team?
Okay, so my thoughts... My thoughts are we easily 1-1 is a realistic, I would say. It could have been 2-0 for the Lakers, all right? But it's what a coulda, shoulda thing here. For me, in game one, it was kind of like the Dallas thing. It was just the two guys. But the difference is they had a 12-point lead, choked it, right? That one, I kind of see it coming. Game two, you got the extra help and D'Angelo Russell, and you choked it late. The problem here, and Anthony Davis, LeBron James did their thing in both games as well, so no one could say Anthony Davis... wasn't performing in the first two games, at least. And yes, I get it. The second half, he was in foul trouble. He kept Jokic in check in the first half. I'm going to say that first half, because I know he had a 20-20 or a 30-20 triple-double, whatever it was, right? It's because he got into foul trouble a little bit because you're guarding Jokic. No one, you're going to bound to get into foul trouble a little bit. But you made it hard on him because you, on the flip side, were attacking Jokic, which made him slow down, right? That's going to be the key to
make
this.
Make Jokic defend.
The thing is, the thing that sucks about this is, like, nowhere near, I want to say this was the Lakers' best either, because not everybody clicked.
But it's very close to their best.
It was, but compared to what the Nuggets did, yes, I agree with you there. The Nuggets did not look anywhere near to their best, especially Jamal Murray, right? He does not make your argument look good in terms of the early part of this game. The clutch part, he makes you look smart.
He's making me look smart.
Still completely disagree with that take.
He's making me look smart.
He's a playoff performer. He's not a number one, but he's a playoff performer.
He is a star in the playoffs.
But we're not going to go back to the argument.
A full-blown star. That's what I'm going to say.
Star in the playoffs, but not a number one option. But that being said, like you always said before, we've seen teams go down 2-0, not handle the away business, not handle the split. So it's not in great detriment, it's not like they're not in grave danger until they lose the next game, right? Because then obviously 3-0, that's the big deal. I feel like, however, I might switch from Nuggets in 6 to Nuggets in 5 because the way this game ended.
Yeah, so here are my thoughts quickly. First of all, Jamal Murray is a 1B. I'm just going to end it off with that. But he shows up when it matters most, and he showed up definitely in game 2 because when you're shooting 9 of 24 for the whole game, but you shoot 6 of 8 in the fourth quarter, you know, it shows that, like, you know, you're a go-to guy when it matters most. And when it mattered most, the Denver Nuggets needed Jamal Murray, and he showed up hitting that shot over 80 for the buzzer beater and breaking your heart, essentially. but here's the thing, bro. I do believe the series is over, but I'm not saying the series is over in 4, right? I do believe the Lakers should be able to get a win. I am fully confident in that. I still think it could go 6, but I just think the Nuggets, they're just better. Like, this game proves why the Nuggets are better. The Lakers were close to their best. The Nuggets were nowhere near the best. Jokic was contained. Murray was contained, right? Michael Porter Jr. played a good game, and you still lost. That's concerning. Yeah. That is concerning on the level of teams.
That's where I was like, it's deflating. They're not going to win the series.
That's very concerning. Because if you're telling me AD's putting up that monster performance, and AD had a monster performance, right? LeBron did LeBron things. You know what LeBron usually does, right? D'Angelo Russell, the biggest X factor, showed up, right?
Yeah.
And on the other side, Murray wasn't doing anything. You had that 20-point lead. It just is so deflating. It's so concerning in the sense that that Nuggets are just straight up better, right? And they just proved that in game 2 because they don't need to be on their best. You need to be on your best. You being on your best is a maybe win for you guys.
Yeah.
Them being on their best is a guarantee win for them.
Exactly. You know, and I agree with that. And those of you guys saying, like, oh, you know, Laker fans are saying, oh, the refs cost us. Yes, there was question marks with some of the refing, the replay happened. But they didn't cost us a 20-point lead. I'm going to put that out there.
That is for sure, too.
Like I said, one thing about me I hold high on is, yes, I can be biased when I need to be, but I try to prove it when I can. And, you know, just because I picked the Nuggets doesn't mean I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm a Laker fan at the end of the day. But I try to keep it real. Like, this is what's going to happen. I'm not a delusional guy, usually. But, yeah, no, with this, Darvin Ham's got to go as well. You got Anthony Davis at the end of the game. I want your reaction as more of a neutral in this, saying, we don't know what we're doing at the end of the game. He comes out saying, I agree to disagree. We are organized. Obviously, as a fan, I'm watching it, and I'm like, there's no way Anthony Davis should have had one shot attempt in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying maybe Anthony Davis should demand it more, but it's also on the play calling, right? Maybe he should have fixed other things up. Maybe the lineups accordingly, right? Like, we were so careless in the fourth quarter. Turnover. Why were we forcing too much? Taking bad shots, standing still. That's all on coaching. I'm not blaming Darvin Ham for completely, you know, dwindling the 20-point lead. That's still on us for doing the turnovers that we made. However, you're still a factor in it because your own players are saying, like, we don't know what we're doing at the end of the game. Jamal Murray just hit a big shot. Hats off to him. It's kind of a reminder of the opposite effect of what happened in the bubble when AD hit that game-winning buzzer beater
At that time, the Lakers were just a better team.
Yeah, so
it's kind of...
My thoughts. What are your thoughts when you see this game and those comments for
I know, it's disgraceful. Like, I don't even need to see the comments. The fact that I see AD taking one shot is already concerning enough, right? How is a guy that has 30 points who shot 13 or 14 from the field to start the game only getting one shot when it matters most? How is your all-star, your star player, your number 2 option, number 1 option, doesn't matter, whatever night it is,
that's a 1A and 1B.
Yeah, but Jamal, Jokic and Murray still kick your ass.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about 1A and 1B.
We had Jokic off rhythm. I get it, foul trouble got him out of the game, but then by the time you got him in, Jokic found his rhythm. Because I've never seen Jokic miss those floaters early on.
I would risk AD getting fouled out. I would even... Like, I would risk AD getting fouled out just to not get Jokic.
Yeah, because even if he's not on him directly, his presence will kind of be. You know,
but like, if you're telling me, like, okay, so like, you're the 5 minutes you sat him out, that's how Jokic got his rhythm. So you're saying that AD could play the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I'll just play him those 5 minutes. If AD misses the last 5 minutes, it might be too late. Too late for the Denver Nuggets, who knows in that sense. But now you got Jokic in the rhythm, and he started to cook AD at the end, too.
The way we...
But it was, yeah, just terrible fourth quarter from you guys. Terrible coaching, terrible play, terrible playmaking, terrible turnovers, all that stuff. You know, you guys were not in sync. It just feels like, to me, that, like, one team is better conditioned than you guys. Like, they're not tired, but you're tired.
Yeah.
Type of thing, too. Like, I think it's that. That's the thing, too. I think that's a factor as well, because, you know, looking at their... Like, they're rearing to go. Like, Murray's still attacking, even with, like, how deflating of a performance that he had. His mentality was still the same. I'm going to attack. Right? His physical was still there. I'm going to attack. Whereas you guys settled.
Yeah. I don't know if that's on just fully fitness. I don't know if that's just the game plan.
I feel like fitness is a factor here.
Yeah.
As well.
Because like we had Jokic kind of tired a bit because AD was going at his chest all night long and AD was hitting those shots. The other thing for me is the key, last thing, you know, not to hamper on this too much. The last key thing for the Lakers to win, even when both games at home, is this. Obviously, repeat performances from AD and LeBron.
And D'Lo.
And, yeah, potentially D'Lo. But one of Rui, because Shannon Sharpe said it best, Rui feels like he went out in inner Jaunte mode, the amount of layups he missed and chances he had to seal it himself. D'Lo or Reeves Rui or Reeves, one of them, if D'Lo goes, two of Rui, Reeves, and D'Lo have to get going. I would say D'Lo more because he has a consistent three-point shooter and he actually hit the same amount of threes he did in last year's series. So, yeah, if one of them gets going more and we play like how we did, and hopefully they miss some shots as well like they did, we have a chance to win, not even just win the series, but take back home court. Keep in mind, your Raptors were down 0-2 in the Bucks when you guys won the championship. We had the same thing with the Bucks-Suns series. I think the Celtics-Warriors series. So it's not impossible. Right, but the question is, you got to take it one game at a time, and that's how you're gonna get back into it. Do I believe that will happen? No, but I could still see us losing in six.
All right, let's move on to another series that I would say is, this one will be quick, just because we watched it less, or I definitely watched less of this game. The Minnesota Timberwolves cruising past the first two games against the Phoenix Suns.
Did you pick the Timberwolves?
I picked the Suns.
Oh, okay, never
because
mind.
I believed Booker, Beal, and KD will all be rolling, and that has definitely not been the case.
Not
even close, because Booker's been clamped. Beal is not doing enough. KD had a good game one performance, terrible game two performance. The reason being, Jaden McDaniels is a dog. And see what happens when you don't punch a ball and break your arm? Maybe you could have done a better against the Nuggets last year instead of a 4-1
loss. You tell
loss.
Me that Anthony Edwards is going to shoot in game two, 3-for-12. Mike Conley was going to take over the load and take 18 points. Rudy Gobert getting 18 points. But Karl Anthony Towns shooting only 7 shots and going 3-for-7. But Jaden McDaniels went 25 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists with a steal.
As simple as this, the big three's got to show up. It's a simple solution. You have no depth. There's no unsung hero for the Suns. Right, there's the big three, and you got to start playing.
The unsung hero is literally Grayson Allen, who's
and that's not even like, let's be honest. It doesn't matter if Grayson Allen performs. If the big three are not performing, Grayson Allen's performance is gonna be a waste. Right. So KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, get your shit together. You've been down 0-2 many times. You brought it back to 2-2 many times. For example, last year against the Nuggets, the only issue is that you guys get tired and lose the next two games. But let's not worry about the games 5 and 6. You gotta defend home court now, and you got to turn up.
This is literally what I said, literally the end of the Lakers one. You were the opposite effect of what happened to the Bucks against you guys. Now, this is your chance to get exact revenge. Listen, I have more faith in the Suns to do it on the Timberwolves than I do with the Lakers on the Nuggets. We all know that. That's not rocket science for anybody. Right? Same thing when we talk about the Pelican series. I have more faith in this team to do it because they have the talent. Bradley Beal's a question mark, because here's my thing. I'm not going to talk about the series too much. The only thing I'm going to say is Anthony Edwards in game one was getting Jordan comp a lot, and rightfully so with how he performed. Anthony Edwards is made for this. Like, he's made for this type of performance, whether that be Team USA, whether that be NBA playoffs, NBA All-Star. He's made for it, and you know that's why he's one of your favorite players and many people's favorite players. Yeah, he might play the villain role here and there, But he's going to give it a result no matter what.
Yeah, efforts there.
And there's no real antics with him either.
He's going to defend when he needs to defend. He's going to try scoring when he needs to try scoring. He's not going to, you know, just because he's shooting bad, he's not going to get away from how he plays, right? He's still going to play how Anthony Edwards plays. And that's the best part of Anthony Edwards. The T-Wolves have a better identity than the Suns. The Suns' identity is the big three, and they have not turned up. And it's a simple solution. If they turn up, they will win game three. Three of them.
Are you going to switch your pick here?
I am definitely leaning towards it.
I'm switching my pick. This reminds me of last year's Kings Warriors in a way.
T-Wolves and six?
Yeah, no. Like, everybody says that this is over for the Suns.
Those big three going to have to play at least 40 minutes in the next two games just to bring the series back to even. Remember when Booker and KD were dropping 80 points just to bring the series even against the Nuggets last year? They were cooked in game five and game six.
Yeah, I'll still take the Suns. I'll say it in seven this time. But my question to you is this. If this fails, what do the Suns do? Because no one's going to take Bradley Beal's contract.
Nobody's at this point.
Does that mean that Kevin Durant moves on?
No.
Does that mean you trade Devin Booker? Like, what do you
Booker's not getting traded.
So KD's gone.
Beal's not going to be moved because nobody's going to want Beal.
Unless you pay extra picks or whatever.
I mean, they're going to run it back. Just that they're going to run it back with less depth and a worse team next year. So this is like truly, like in a situation like Celtics are, if the Celtics lose this year, they still kind of have next year.
Yeah, because they brought those guys back.
Their players are locked up, right? Their main pillars. The Suns are going to be a worse team because their depth pieces are going to be worse because you already played Grayson Allen as well, right? To a fair bit contract as well. And now you have legit going to have vet minimums on your team all across the roster. But yeah, no, Timberwolves are in control. They've been performing better. Shameful performances by the Suns so far. But at the end of the day, I do believe Booker will play better. I do believe Kevin Durant will play better.
Kevin Durant, especially because we've seen him actually pick it up. Remember the quote with the Golden State Warriors, "You forget who I am"?
Yeah.
Right? When people are saying Pat Bev is locking him up in that Shea rookie year series. So I expect Kevin Durant to turn it around.
I expect Booker to turn it around too. Right? Booker is that much of a dog that, you know, are you really going to let Anthony Edwards take over the number one shooting guard spot in the league from you? Are you? Because I still have Booker up there. But Anthony Edwards is very close.
Yeah.
And if he destroys you in this series, he's the number one shooting guard coming into next year.
Yeah, this team is going to be something to talk about. Because it's definitely, it's going to come to, and it, again, the key thing is Kevin Durant. Is it, which failure is bigger? Is it this one? I still think it's the Nets, obviously. But the Nets, you have the...
It's reminiscent of the Nets one in the sense of... Remember the time Celtics swept them 4-0?
Yeah.
Right, 2 years ago? That's what it feels like right now.
Then you got like, you know, the old Lakers with the Nash, like Kobe Lakers. You're right. This is going to be up there, right? Yeah, it's going to be up there if you guys lose in the first round, especially.
Especially sweep as well. But let's move on to the 1 seed versus the 8 seed. And great game one game. Not so great game two for a fan perspective. But if you're Thunder fans, you are happy because the inexperience is not bothering any of the Thunder players right now, especially Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because he's one of the players that's actually experienced.
And Chet Holmgren. What a game two.
What a game two performance by Chet Holmgren. Absolutely dominated the first half of the game for sure. J-Dub did his thing. Lou Dort is the story right now for me because he is causing trouble to Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram only took 10 shots. You have no Zion Williamson. There's no reason for him to take 10 shots.
He's all up in his grill. When you watch the game, he's not letting him. He's instantly, where's Ingram? My hands are on him, making everything tough for him. Lou Dort is doing what Lou Dort does, which is lock down people, and Brandon Ingram is on lockdown.
Zion's supposed to come back. I'm not saying game three. I'm saying they're saying reports that he could be back. We said no matter what, without Zion, it was going to be like Thunder and seven. People thought we were crazy, but people, and I was listening to other podcasts, other clips. They think that's not going to be, it's going to be easy for the Thunder, maybe in five, if Zion doesn't come back either. Zion's coming back. Does that change your perspective? If Zion doesn't come back, are you changing it from Thunder to seven to Thunder to five? And then if Zion does come back, how much do you think that will, or is it too late? Like how Embiid was too late with the injury against the Heat. The year he beat you guys and got hurt. And
So it's Thunder and five right now. The best chance was game one where, like, you know, Shai had to pick it up in the fourth quarter. Like, you had Shai contained a little bit. Chet Holmgren wasn't great in game one offensively. We had 5 blocks in game one, so defensively it was
defensively,
good.
Defensively, this team is going to be studs. It's
good. They're good. Yeah. Right? They're like Lou Dort's a lockdown. Shea's up there in steals. J-Dub's a big body. Chet Holmgren's a lanky, right? You're getting all these blocks. Like, they're all set. Like, all their scorers are all their defenders as well.
Yeah.
Which is great because they're all two-way players. And then, obviously, when you have a lockdown like Lou Dort being your best defender, chuck him on anyone, right? Chuck him on Ingram. Chuck him on McCollum. Whoever's going, just chuck him on that. He will slow him down. And it's proven time and time again. In the bubble, especially, he slowed down James Harden. James Harden wasn't the reason the Houston Rockets won. It was more Russell Westbrook, right? And more of a team effort from Houston instead of Harden carrying.
Yeah, so I might even go, if no Zion, this could be a sweep the way it's going. Like, I'm looking, and now I get it. They're going to go home, so we'll, game three will obviously
they're not a good home team. They're a better road team.
Yeah, they're on a losing streak at home as right now, going back to the regular season and the play-in against the Lakers.
But they beat the Kings.
Sorry, yeah, because it ended there. Never mind.
Yeah, they beat the Kings.
Okay, one win in their last, like, 10, I think it was.
Yeah, they're a better road team than they are a home team.
Right, like, Trey Murphy only had 8 points. He only had 8 shots. You need to get him off screens to try to get a shooting because he's a straight sharpshooter, right? Brandon Ingram can't be taking 10 shots as your guy. Like, Jonas Valanciunas got 14 shots, but those are all twos for the most part.
Yeah, Valanciunas was pretty dominant.
McCollum's still not... McCollum hasn't found his form until after that Lakers series... the season finale against the Lakers carried into the play-in and all that, right? Herb Jones is going to do his best on Shea, but guess what? Shea still dropped 33 on you and the rest of the team, right? If Zion's not back, this series is done. If Zion comes in four, I'm going to say that. If Zion comes back, I'll say Thunder in six because I still think it's going to be too late. I still think you have a guy like J-Dub or Lou Dort who's probably going to end up... Lou Dort will probably end up switching on Zion because he's literally built like a bull himself too.
Remember, there's also random games where...
And then you got Chet Holmgren... patrolling the paint, essentially.
They're set. I agree with everything you said.
I want to give a huge shout out if we finish talking though.
Yeah, that's it.
Case and Wallace. Maybe not in game two, respectively, in terms of shooting. They were picking on him because they think he's a rookie and they forget that his elite trait is like Lou Dort, which is defense.
They have lockdown.
So you have lockdown everywhere and a guy coming off the bench and he's playing with Shea. Case and Wallace went top 10 pick or whatever, top 11 pick for a reason.
He's a lockdown.
There's a reason why they took a guard. For that.
He's a lockdown. Thunder are set. They're good. And they're showing that their inexperience so far does not matter. But let's see what they do on the road because now things get tough for them a little bit. There'll be a first challenge. And we'll see how they do as a road team.
Shout out Mark Daigneault as well as a coach. Yeah, shout out. As a rookie coach. Well, not rookie playoff coach, I guess you could say.
Eastern Conference. Let's start off with the series, in my opinion, that has... I think this is a series of the playoffs so far. Which is the New York Knicks.
Okay, so you won that one. Okay.
And the Philadelphia 76ers. Both games are absolutely incredible. And Jalen Brunson has been...
Awful.
Awful.
For his standards.
And you're still winning 2-0.
Yeah. Let's reverse this. Game two ending. Two questions here. One. Do you want a last 2-minute report? At this point?
I saw it.
No, I'm saying, do you want it to happen? Because what's...
Oh, yeah, it's useless. Yeah, it's useless.
And then... Two, how do you still blow that in general?
Yeah, I mean, did he get fouled? Yes.
But he shouldn't be, like, assuming he's getting fouled and then lose grip on the ball.
That's what happens, right? Like, when you...
Talk about Maxey, who had a great game, by the way.
Yeah, Maxey. I think he had a flu game, low-key, as well. You can't be looking for the foul. At the end of the day, you got to make your play, right? When you're always looking for the foul, the ref's not always going to call it. But at the end of the day, is it a foul? Yes. Should Maxey take care of the ball better? Yes.
Should Nick Nurse do a proper timeout and keep it there?
Yeah, not delay his timeout and come back and do it again.
Yeah.
Like, pull back, then, you know, then say it after Maxey's on the ground. But, yeah, overall, terrible ending for the Sixers side. Was it their fault necessarily? Kind of. Not fully. Refs are definitely to blame. They are more to blame for this game for sure because they single-handedly almost costed them the series because of this game.
Paige Becker said it perfectly after that Iowa loss. No game is determined on one play for the 99% of the time. I would add the 99%. She's like, but for the most part, no game is determined by one play. And you had the lead, 5-point lead. All you got to do is be smart, call the timeout earlier, do the backcourt version of that play. Yeah, like at the end of the day, same thing with the Lakers. No one, any other series that happened, no one, unless it was like a close game throughout the whole entire game. And then, sure, that's the only exception I'll
for
say.
The 99,
but even then, it's like, why let it go to the
refs? For 99% of the time, refs don't cost you the game. But this is the 1% because you had the lead.
Yeah.
You had the 2-possession lead. You had the ball in your hands. Right? This is a robbery. It is. Like, because you had the lead. It's a different story, right? The UConn one was a different story because UConn still had to make the shot, right? The Sixers had it in the bag. They did blow it themselves, yes. Did the refs blow it for them?
Also, yes.
Yes. Simple as that. And the overall series, I mean, Joel Embiid's kind of doing his thing. You know, he's still looking like he's
He doesn't hurt. Look 100% at all.
He doesn't look 100%, but he's fighting through it. I respect it. He's performing still admirably well. Tyrese Maxey has been a stud. And just to double check on other things, you know.
Kyle Lowry's still playing like a
Kyle Lowry is playing like a dog. And, like, it's a close game, right? And it just sucks because the fact that Brunson is not doing... It's Nick Nurse, right? It makes sense.
He's putting everybody on him. Like, Nick Batum's on him.
Nick Nurse is the best coach to have if you want to contain a star.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially he's, like, the main only scorer. On the team.
He is the worst coach to have if you want to shut down everyone else because he's leaving open shots for Josh Hart, who took over in game one, but in game two, he did not make his shots. And then obviously for...
Well, game two, he still went 7-for-16 and 4-for-7 from three.
Yeah, so compared to game one, it wasn't good.
Yeah, but still, 57% from three is still...
But that's what Nick Nurse wants.
Yeah.
Right? He got what he wanted in game two defensively. So there's got to be a little bit better offensively, I guess, in terms of... be a little bit more efficient, and Embiid could definitely be a little bit more efficient as a big man, because for a big man, you should be shooting 50%, not 41%. Yeah. And then other thing is, you know, can we get a Tobias Harris step up? Get a Kelly Oubre step up? Because
one
at the end of the day,
when
you're looking at it, like 35 and 34 from your two best players, and Tobias Harris has 10, and everyone else has single digits.
So it's pretty much Luka Kyrie.
It's pretty much that. I think in game one, Kyle Lowry did perform well.
Yeah.
And he had 18, I believe.
But here's the thing, right? For me, shout out to Jalen Brunson himself. It's kind of a Jamal Murray-esque. He did not stop shooting because if he stopped shooting, it would have been harder to guard the other guys. But he kept shooting. He hit that three that led to that Maxey, I guess the steal off Maxey that should have been a foul, whatever the case may be. Even though it was like a boink three, which the Sixers never gotten over since Kawhi still. But... yeah, like at the end of the day, he put the shots up because he's shoot or shoot, right?
Shoot or shoot,
Ballers ball, I guess, the best way to put it too
if
as well.
If you don't shoot the ball, you ain't scoring a bucket.
Exactly. But yeah, no, this is, like I said, same thing. I'm going to repeat it again. They didn't take the split. However, they have a chance to take over home court. And Embiid said perfectly, this could be up 2-0. I'm not saying his quote exactly. I agree with it completely.
It should have, would have, could have.
It should have, could have, would have. But he's right. They're played well. I'm not. But clearly,
you gotta play a little bit better.
You gotta play better, especially your role guys.
Yeah. So simple as this. You know who has a better depth coming into the series? We all know it was the Knicks. So, but their depth is absolutely destroying you. Can we get a little bit more from your depth? That's the reason why the series is 2-0 for the Knicks side, because they have the better team, but you have the better stars at the end of the day. Right, Maxey's not that far behind Brunson. Embiid is ahead of Brunson, so you have two of the top three guys in the series.
Yeah,
they're playing well. You're limiting their top guy well, which in a Nick Nurse defense he always does. Your depth's got to turn up a little bit, and Embiid's got to shoot a little bit more efficient. And I think Philly will take. I think Philly will make it 2-2, personally.
Okay, so let's go to this next one. I'm gonna start off with this question. How pissed are you that you didn't get more for Pascal Siakam as a Raptor fan? And why didn't you not trade him earlier in the year to get more value out of him? Because, before you continue, because the way he performed in game one, two, pretty much carried them in game two. I want to say fully carried them, but like was a big reason why they won game two. You're telling me all it took was Bruce Brown and then some picks and Jordan Nwora?
Yeah, essentially it's not looking good on the Raptor side for sure. That is... yeah, it's a little bit painful. But I'm happy for Pascal. You know, I know he could do this. He's been doing this. It's just that obviously the bubble one was the only bad performer. Otherwise, Pascal is a playoff performer. Except for the bubble year, he performed. And we needed every bit of Pascal in 2019. In the Phillies series, Pascal was the only consistent player who actually played good in every single game where we lost 4-2 against Philadelphia 2 years ago. And now, right now, this man legit single-handedly...
Okay, game two, I would give props to Andrew Nembhard and Miles.
Yeah, give him props. But Pascal Siakam, I said coming into the series, it's going to be his series. Halliburton's not the number one option. You got to make Siakam the number one option. And Siakam has 100% performed like that. Damian Lillard dropped 35 points and a half. Pascal Siakam dropped more points than him in game one somehow still. Yeah. That's how good he has been, right? Pascal Siakam, again, outscored Damian Lillard. And Damian Lillard is cooking.
He's cooking.
And Pascal,
he's doing exactly what I said he should be doing.
This is the best Pascal Siakam I've seen in a playoff setting. It's not even close, because the fact that you're matching up with Damian Lillard on points, and Damian Lillard that's, you know, on fire. Imagine how much fire is Pascal Siakam on. And legit, I think he is the MVP of the playoffs so far, because in the sense of, they needed every bit of that.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yes, Tyrese Haliburton, his first actual playoffs, obviously it's going to be some jitters. He's still making the ball well, 12 assists. Yes, helps that Pascal's hitting shots for it. Or in game two, especially, Nembhard stepped up with 20 points. Miles Turner got 22 points, 3 blocks. Yes, we know Giannis is not playing. Yes, we know he's probably out for maybe the remainder of the series. He still has to work. And yes, we know he'll probably contain or give Pascal.
He's not going to get sure.
We know that. But we're talking about what's been happening so far. He's been unguardable in this series. I agree, if Giannis were to come back in this series, he will be guarded well, because it is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he's one of the best defenders in the world, right? We know that. But as of right now, Siakam is carrying. And Siakam, I agree with you. I think on the top of my head, I don't think there's anyone else on the top, an MVP. I'll see what's happening in the Cavs series.
This is just so far the first two games.
Out of the first two games? He's handling this. He could easily have been just a regular 20-point scorer. He's been close to 40 both times. He's like 37 and 37 again.
He averaged 20 as a Pacer this year in the regular season. And he's elevated his game in his first two Pacer games. And they needed every single bit of that, right?
This is why you get him. This is why the Pacers got him.
Exactly.
And he's proving them why. And he's making you guys look stupid. And Masai Ujiri looks stupid with that trade.
So, yeah, so far, I hope we don't jinx them now, because they're coming home with a split. They got what they're supposed to do. How the Mavs did, you know, they did what they're supposed to do as the road team. They got their split. You're coming home to Indiana, a crowd that is probably thriving for a playoff, a home playoff game for quite a while now. And they have something to cheer about in Siakam.
And there's drama in this. There's drama in this series now, with Bobby Portis and Pat Bev talking shit to Tyrese Haliburton, Andrew Nembhard, who doesn't talk shit much. So this got it's like
quite feisty.
I need to tune into this next game because it is feisty. So it's another thing. The other thing is that one thing I want to mention. I see Raptors fans on Twitter all the time saying, "Oh, see, this is why we should have kept Pascal Siakam. You did the right thing by trading Pascal Siakam. It's just the timing was wrong and the value was just horrible of the trade. That's it. He still should have been traded."
Yeah,
because he was not going to get at the end of the day, the goal is a championship, and I don't think the Pacers are still going to win a championship. We get that,
but I'm just saying, those five games where we had Quickly, Barrett, Siakam, Barnes, and Pirtle were so fun to watch. They were like, remember the Laker game with all the fouls? They were like shootouts of like 130, 132.
I could have been wrong. We never know, but I think it was still the right decision.
It was the right decision. I don't know. Like, now that I'm looking back at it, like, if you did pay him and then he performs well next year, yes, it's a little bit more risky. Don't get me wrong.
But you have to pay Scotty and you got to pay...
But I'm saying, like, if they signed him and then, you know, at next deadline, say the Raptors weren't good, but Siakam is good, he would have been locked up and I think could have gone poor value. But that's like a what-if situation.
Yeah, that's risk.
Though. That's risk. It's a heavy risk for sure. But otherwise, that could have been the best case scenario if they did take that chance. But Siakam... he's been cooking, MVP of the playoffs so far, because, you know, he back-to-back 36-point game performances on very efficient shooting. You know, Dame Lillard is up there. Like, I would say Dame Lillard is second in MVP so far in the first two
games. Yeah, Dame's going to continue this, and he hopes that Chris Middleton emerges. If Giannis comes back, does it change your mind of the series? And I'll say let's just say game five, he comes back, and it's 3-1 Pacers, and Giannis comes back.
I think the if it's 3-1 Pacers, I think it'll be too little too late in the sense of because I think that's when Halliburton will start cooking.
Okay.
Personally. Yeah, Siakam might slow down, but that's where it might open up for Halliburton a little bit more, in my opinion. But right now, it's Siakam series. It's a Siakam versus Lillard showdown, and it's been incredible so far. And Siakam does need his help from his depth, and so does Lillard. But right now, the two best players on each team are cooking, and they need every their teams need every bit of them at their best, essentially.
Yeah. All right. These two last two series we haven't paid. Maybe you watched a little bit of this one, so we'll get to this. Boston, Miami, tied at 1-1, which is a surprise. This was one of the series on my list where I'm like, I ain't probably not gonna tune in. One, because I'm coming back from work, and two, I think the other series have more value because of what we were missing, and Jimmy Butler not playing for Miami. However, you watched this game a little bit more than me, so I'll let you take the lead on this one in game two. What happened? How did Boston lose? Because I saw Jaylen Brown went off in the first like half.
Jaylen Brown, I think, had 11 straight points to end off the second, to end off the first half.
JT and Brown had 33 and 28 respectively.
Quick comment on game one. You know, we saw every bit of the Celtics that we were going to see. So obviously we thought it was going to be a sweep at this rate. You know what the thing was? How did Miami beat Boston last year? Right?
Grit.
Caleb Martin showed up. Their defense, their team defense was there.
Tyler Hero had 14 assists. Holy.
Tyler Hero is kind of in that Jimmy Butler role in the sense of he has to be the main guy, a main focus of the offense. Bam Adebayo did his thing. You know, their bench did their thing, right? And Nikola Jovic started off hot as well. But the biggest thing is that the biggest reason why this the Miami Heat defeated the Boston Celtics last year was that their three-point field goal percentage was over 50% on the games they won. And today, it was over 50%.
I heard Perk say they could go 100%. They will still get swept. Clearly, that's not the case. Miami game plan is simple. Play hard defense. Obviously, the other two got their points. No one, like everybody else in the Celtics, did not do well. Derek White was the only guy with double digits. And the other thing was hit your shots, like you said.
They hit their shots.
And then the third thing is pray. So all three kind of checked off.
Yeah, like, does this change your mind on anything? No.
No. We were wrong on the sweep, clearly, but yeah, I think this might...
I'm still saying Celtics in five.
Yeah, I still... This probably woke up the Celtics even more. Yeah. They probably half-assed it because that's what they did in the first game. They'll probably close out business in five games, especially if the other series are ending quicker, maybe, than normal, especially... I think they take on the Cavs, right? Yes, I think they take on the Cavs.
Yeah, yeah.
4-5 matchup.
My mistake. They weren't... They were 50%. They ended off at 32%. But they were at 50% for like at one point in time.
That's a drop off.
They ended up with when I saw the stats, they were showing it was at 50% at one point in the game.
But yeah, but and hey, Miami got their split. Let's see if they could do something with it. That's the thing.
But at the end of the day, right? Like when you compare it, you know, they made their shots. They had the hustle stats. They did better. They had one less turnover. They had more points in the paint, right? So that in that case, Porzingis has got to turn up. Especially defensively. They doubled them in points in the paint. And that's where Adebayo cooked.
Yeah. All right. Last one. I paid zero attention to this, unfortunately.
Same. I paid zero. Okay, never mind. No. Edmonton and LA are in overtime
They're
right now.
They're going to overtime. It's still intermission.
But they're showing the replay. Yeah.
Cavs up 2-0. Not surprising there. They had to handle business for what we know. It's the same thing. Paolo Banchero is going to end up getting locked up. The rest of the guys had to provide the offense. Clearly not happening, really. Yes, Franz Wagner got 18, but Paolo, you're not going to be able to win a game if Paolo has 24 points in 41 minutes, unfortunately. Right?
And honestly, that's good for Paolo. In his first,
it's good.
It's good numbers for Paolo.
Especially
but
for his first playoffs. But the problem is, you're the only focus.
You're the right. That's what happens when you're like the only guy on the team that can score.
Also, this series is kind of living up to what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be defense first because the scores are 97-83 and 96-86.
Yeah, but
this reminds me of the 08.
It was the 2000s. Yeah, yeah. It was a good, like, coming into it, defensively, they both match up well, right? Like, John Isaac could contain Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland, whoever he wants to guard, whoever they put him on. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen can contain their number one threat and Paolo Banchero. Banchero did his thing, you know, obviously. He did his thing. He's going to have to step up. And that's honestly what's going to happen in year three, year four. We're not expecting much. At the end of the day, the fact that you're still getting 24 and 21, I'm still impressed by that.
Yeah.
But overall, we said Cavs are going to be in control. They were in control in both games. They had double-digit leads for most of the game.
And Suggs got hurt but came back, thankfully.
Yeah, and it's Cavs series to lose. And honestly,
What did I say? Six?
Yeah,
or five. I don't know. This could be. This is obviously. I could see a sweep happening.
This could be out of all the sweep potential. This is definitely number one on my list.
Yeah, because in game two, Paolo dropped to 9 for 20, 21 points. Franz Wagner still had 18. The problem is you had Donovan Mitchell first game dropped 30. This game he dropped 23. You got Jared Allen having 20 rebounds. So that opens up either second chance points for him or second or three-pointer opportunity for Donovan Mitchell, whoever, right? And defensively, like, yeah, they're probably pretty even. I'll give the Cavs slight edge because of the experience, but you have a playoff bucket getter in Donovan Mitchell. So we're not going to waste too much time on it. It is living up to what we thought it was. The claims are under 100 points. The rest of the playoffs are, except for a couple of games, the blowout games are obviously in the 120s, but otherwise it's less than 120s for, and it shows, right?
Defense, right? People start playing defense in the playoffs. Who knows?
So, yeah, and I agree with you that this is the, out of all the 2-0s, this is the biggest sweep potential as well. But overall, that's our early recap on this. As a reminder, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, that recap will be dropping on, I'll be dropping tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? So let's get right into, before we get into the NFL draft, the preview questions about it, who could be available for trade, we have to come back to this because this is the first time we're talking about it, the Ryan Garcia Devin Haney fight.
So first of all, me, you, and Nick Baldwin
and many other people
and a lot of other people in the world are completely wrong, because Ryan Garcia turned up and knocked down Devin Haney for the first time in his career and did it 3 times.
Could have been a knockout already at 7, in round 7, that first knockdown he got. He was minus 900 or something, very underdog, which surprised me a little bit because I didn't think he was bad. I don't know how much of it was because of people thought he was crazy. Yes, he's just dumb for not coming into weight. I don't get why that was the case. He supposedly, allegedly says he took advice from Floyd Mayweather and he told him to come in overweight. I don't know about that, but overall, let's talk about the fight very quickly. Entertaining fight, even when Devin Haney was dominating, it wasn't like as boring, right? It was frustrating watching it a little bit just because the ref was the main character a lot of the times, right? He saved Haney a little bit, but he also
saved Garcia
because he kept doing the shoulder roll back turn thing and he had to like separate them, a lot of holds. So that was the unfortunate thing. But outside of that, like when we thought it was Haney after the first round, like everybody's like, oh, Garcia's going to knock him out within two. Haney took control after that up until round 7. And after that, it was essentially Garcia just bullying him. How much of that was the weight factor? I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think, what's his name, is still champ. You were right about that. It wasn't like the UFC style. He's still champ. Haney's still champ. I want to see a rematch. However, we'll see how it goes. We have, obviously, Haney said he wants a rematch at a proper, like, agreed weight.
Make weight, right? At the end of the day, right? Like,
still got to be professional.
Yeah, you got to make weight. And this one, Haney shouldn't take the fight. If Garcia doesn't make weight, Haney shouldn't fight him.
Yeah, but you fought him, no excuses.
No, yeah, no problem for the rematch.
Yeah,
so that's number one. Number two, yes, Garcia may be crazy, but honestly, this is probably what he needed in the sense of, like, He threw people off, but, like, I'm not saying, like, yes, if he does have, you know, whatever CT, whatever boxers get after. But I'm saying right now, this mentality of Ryan Garcia has saved him, right? Him being this cocky, arrogant, crazy guy showed in the ring, right?
Yeah.
That he is a legit boxer. That's how he boxes. He has a left hook. He has the power shot. He has the finisher, right? And he's not afraid to use it.
Yeah.
Right? And he acts like it, right? And I loved every bit of what Ryan Garcia did in the ring, and it showed really well. Like, would you think this was a draw? Yes, you could have called it a draw for sure. But the fact that you knocked him down 3 times, it had to be a Garcia win decision. If it was decision, it had to be a Garcia win.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Some of those rounds were close, right? It wasn't clear Haney.
That was true.
It just wasn't like, that UFC version or the box, like if it was UFC, Leon Edwards, instead of actually KOing the head kick on Usman, it was just a knockdown. This wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Right? This was like, there were some rounds that were clear Haney. I get that. And there were some that were close that did not end outside. Like, round one was clear. There was a couple of rounds in between where, like, okay, Haney looked like he had the control, but then Garcia landed a big power shot or whatever the case.
That
but
is for sure.
At the end of the day,
it Ryan is Garcia's back.
He's back, and this is not the only thing. We have a lot of big fights coming out, coming boxing fights, UFC fights, but boxing specifically. We got Canelo coming back. We got Beatriz versus Bivol. We got Terrence Crawford is back once again as well. We might potentially see Deontay Wilder fight for the last time. And the biggest one of them all, Fury Usyk, is coming soon.
The heavyweights are coming soon, yes. Fury Usyk, the delayed fight is finally happening.
Hopefully.
Which is, yeah, hopefully no one gets cut or anything. But yeah, let's go. Boxing at a good time right now. People are actually fighting each other. None of this Tank Davis shit where you're going to dehydrate the guy before the fight.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens now. Fury Usyk, I think, is the next one, right?
Canelo.
All right, Canelo, then Fury Usyk. So, yeah, exciting time to be a boxing fan for sure.
All right, let's move on. This is the biggest topic as well, along with the playoffs. The NFL draft, as of today, is officially here because this will be releasing on NFL draft day. We're not going to really go into each prospect or none of that. We talked with Nick Shook, so check that pod out, the questions we had, because we don't really know each player that well. However, we know a range of certain people looking at mock drafts, how people talk about it. Before we get into that, before we get into the NFL exactly fully, very quickly, NBA awards that have been announced so far. Most improved player is Tyrese Maxey, the first guy to get most improved, even when he had 20 points per game last year. He got it over Alperen Şengün and Kobe White. And sixth man of the year, it was a little surprising. I thought it was Malik Monk's award to lose. He did lose it. It was Naz Reid. Well-deserved still. I'm not disagreeing with that. However, I do disagree that Bobby Portis was in instead of Norm Powell.
Yeah, no, that's disgraceful, disrespectful. No offense to Bobby Portis, but Norman Powell was the better player off the bench. And I think our preseason prediction was Malik Monk, so I'm a little bit upset that he didn't win as well. But yeah, congrats to Naz Reid, Tyrese Maxey. Congratulations to him as well. He was a clear favorite for MIP. I think Dante DiVincenzo missed it because of like 11 seconds of a game he didn't play. So other than that, it was Maxey's award to lose. And congrats to Naz Reid and this Timberwolves team who proved us wrong all year. All
right, let's go on to the NFL draft now. Do you want to start off with the signings, and or do you want to talk about the potential picks and like what are locks?
We'll save the picks. Let's talk about potential rumors right now.
All
right,
so the rumors right now. The only thing that we know probably for sure is Caleb Williams is going number one. We also know officially that who the highest paid wide receiver is, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown, your boy, one of your favorite wide receivers, right? He was like a fourth round pick, I think, a third or fourth round pick out of USC. Along with his teammate, Penei Sewell got he's now the highest paid tackle or highest paid lineman in the league. And a while back, Devontae Smith signed a big contract. And we obviously know the other receivers that signed, like Michael Pittman Jr. And so on and so forth. So the rumors here are, the big rumor coming into this draft in terms of NFL player side of things, then we'll talk about how the picks will go. What's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk? Brandon Ayuk is probably the happiest man in the world right now. Because either San Francisco has to pay him, or they need to trade him away, and that he's going to make $30 million. Let's just say that.
Yeah, coming off the year that he came off of, especially, right? Brandon Ayuk's in a good spot. He is looking for a payday. He deserves a payday, right?
And he deserves he deserved a first. I don't blame San Francisco either, especially when Hollywood Brown went for a first.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, yeah, no, it's going to be if it's a trade, it's going to be a hefty trade package. It's going to be a hefty contract. But Brandon Ayuk played like that, and he fully deserves it. And this is the best opportunity to do it because who knows, you know, performance might drop next year. Injuries are a thing in football. Especially with turf. And so all that things is a factor. If there's a time for Brandon Ayuk to get his bag, it's this year and it's in this offseason.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Sticking with the wide receiver before we talk about another thing. Actually, let me go back to the Ayuk thing. Is he a Niner next year? Is Debo getting traded and he's staying a Niner? Or if he were to leave, answer each question accordingly. Yeah. And if he were to leave, where would you think he's going to end up?
Well, the rumors are saying Jags and Colts. So, for that...
I think a little bit of that is a fit.
I'm saying Jaguars.
Yeah, because they lost Calvin.
For that reason. I think he's a Niner in the sense of that he's not even getting a contract extension.
Okay.
He's just going to be a Niner. Because at the end of the day, is anyone really going to pay that much, especially during draft day? Who knows? Someone might. Don't get me wrong. But at this moment, I don't see it happening. I don't see any move happening. I don't see any contract extension happening at the draft. It could happen in the summer. But at, as of this moment, I think Brandon Ayuk will be a Niner next year. And it doesn't matter if it's with a contract extension or not, because he's, at the end of the day, he still has one more year with him.
If he gets a contract extension, is Deebo a Niner?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just going to be over the cap.
Okay, so I disagree only in this fact that if he were to get traded, I could see him getting traded tomorrow. Or today, in this case. On Thursday. Because we've seen it before. We've seen AJ Brown. You know, Steelers need a receiver, right? And a lot of other teams do as well.
Okay. At this rate, like, they might look at his interests as well. Like, a place that could afford him, right? Like, might be like a Carolina, but does he really want to go to Carolina?
And it's over. It's over. Kopitar series 1-1, baby. Live reaction on the pod.
Kopitar ends
5-4.
What a game. 5-4. LA King were up 3-1, and they're up 2-0 and 3-1 at one point in this game, and now. 5-4.
It matters. Doesn't matter. There's no points.
Yeah, I know. That's how it works.
We'll talk about more about this tomorrow. So we'll go back to Brandon.
Yeah, Kopitar.
We got you guys got our live reaction on the pod.
Quick rebound. I mean, replay.
Yeah.
Cam Talbot was incredible today.
Yeah, he played well today. Against former team as well.
In sense of, even after, like, you know, the 3-3. But Hyman.
This is how you know this pod is off the rails, because overtime playoffs going on in the background. Kopitar on a breakaway, it seems like. A mini break. Is he on? Yeah, he's
on. That's onside.
That's onside. And buries it. Yeah, that's game. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, so stay tuned. But for going back to the closing out the Brandon Ayuk conversation here, I see him getting traded at draft night. I also don't see him, but if I could see it happening in draft night is what I'm saying. That's the only part I disagree with you in. Because we've seen it before, whether it be him or Deebo, I don't know. That's where I'm going to stay with it. Because we've seen like a team like the Steelers could trade. Who knows? A team like Jaguars, we know that they could trade. Other teams that need a receiver, on the top of my head, I don't think the Chiefs will, because they got Hollywood Brown. But you know, you get where I'm going with it. So
yeah,
Fair. Another trade rumor of a receiver is T. Higgins.
Oh, he's been in the rumors.
And he's been in the rumors. He's officially requested a trade now, apparently, along with Trey Hendrickson, as well. They're stud D linemen. He wants to get paid as well, which makes sense with how the D linemen are getting paid. And with that being said, the Bengals said they're not going to trade him because they're looking for a Super Bowl. However, again, a trade package can come out of nowhere. T. Higgins is not going to go for as much as that. He might be happy because he's probably licking his chops. We're lucky Pittman signed for 21. I think he should be in that range, obviously.
For sure, yeah.
So, do you think T. Higgins gets traded? And again, the team, I'm not going to ask you the teams because it's probably the same as the teams that won't get Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, no, T. Higgins I see more than Brandon Ayuk, in the sense of that this has been going on, in the sense of that he's on a tag, whereas Ayuk, I think, still has one more year. For that reason, I do believe that T. Higgins is going to get traded more. I don't think Trey Hendrickson is getting traded at all, right? They can't afford to lose Trey Hendrickson. Especially if they're trying to, you know, go on that Super Bowl run, which they are very capable when you have Joe Burrow at the helm, hopefully healthy Joe Burrow. And so I see T. Higgins getting traded as my number one target.
I completely forgot Diggs got traded. So Buffalo is in for a receiver if they don't like one in the draft as well. You got the Baltimore Ravens could be a sneaky shout for someone like T. Higgins as well. I don't think a trade's going to happen in division, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening.
So, yeah, there's that. So my question to you is, let's talk about this contract that Amon-Ra got. What does this mean for the Bengals? Because they're trying to keep Ja'Marr Chase over T. Higgins. We know that. So what does it mean for Ja'Marr Chase? And especially the guy who's been carrying the Vikings, Justin Jefferson.
They're getting paid.
I think his guaranteed money is $77 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, no, they're getting paid. So right? We're
what
see.
Would you say is their average annual? Right now it's $30 million for him and Tyreek.
$30 million, so $31 million.
You're saying only $1 million higher? I could see, honestly, Justin Jefferson getting 33 and then Ja'Marr jumping down by to 34.
Yeah, that's
fair. I think Justin Jefferson's that much better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. As good as Amon-Ra St. Brown has
been.
Yeah,
no, so yeah, probably 33. I mean, Vikings are hoping it's 31.
Yeah, now especially.
Yeah, no, it might be even 35. Who knows?
It could be. I think that's what he was looking for minimum, too. So
I think it's 35. I think it's 35. 31 in the sense of what the Vikings want, what Jefferson should ask for and could get, and is like fully deserved. 35 average annual value for a wide receiver is going to be crazy, but for a guy like Jefferson, is well worth it, I guess.
And Jamar fifth year option got picked up.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
He's going to obviously, whatever Jefferson gets, he'll get at least 0.5 more.
Probably, minimum, yeah.
Right. But okay, let's go on to the actual draft itself. Outside of the fifth, what the Colts are going to do, what spot of the draft are you most interested in? Of what's going to happen? We know Caleb's probably going number one.
So
is it the QB market?
Market for sure, right? Like, who's going 2 and 3, right? Is May better than Daniels, or Daniel better than May? Daniel's better than May.
Is JJ going to come out of nowhere?
I don't know why there are rumors of Cardinals looking to trade.
Save that for me, because I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah, no, but I don't know why there are rumors for Cardinals looking to trade. So that, in that sense, that's going to be crazy as well. Chargers, are they going to go O-lineman or weapon? I have no idea. Right, Brock Bowers could go as high as 5, or he could fall out of the top 10. I think he's going to be in a top 10 pick. That is for sure for Brock. That is my guess for Brock Bowers. But right now, the only locks for me are, you know, Caleb Williams at 1.
And that's it.
And if Cardinals stay, Marvin Harrison at 4. 2 and 3, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when the tackles are going to go. I don't know when the edge rushers are going to go. I don't think a corner is getting drafted in the first 10 picks. At least, I think one edge rusher will. But other than that, you know, all linemen,
the rumor
the
is
quarterbacks, the and at least two wide receivers will get drafted top 10. And additional topic, JJ McCarthy, what the hell's gonna happen with him?
The rumor, these are a couple of rumors before I give you my answer, is that there's a potential that all 6 guys go top half. Which is big for the Colts, for guys like Brock Bowers or teams that are looking for the weapons to drop. So that's one. Or 6 in the first round in general. Right, this includes Penix and Bo Nix. The other rumor is that teams that are looking to trade up are the teams that are trying to get linemen in this draft, right? They obviously have offensive linemen, to be exact. Joe Alt, Fashanu, right? A lot of these guys are
they headline the tackle class, the lineman class.
So
for sure.
That's where the thing is, which helps the Colts in that sense. But to answer my question that I asked you as well for myself, I'm interested with the 4th pick.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I agree with you. Why the hell are they going to try to trade away the 4th pick unless you're getting a massive haul, right? I don't see JJ McCarthy going, like the Vikings giving that much up, even though they have the first 2 picks. For me, is the only reason why they will trade down is they get a haul or the Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr. That's it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Other than that, the Chargers should be the team that wants to drop. That should drop if they want to. Not the Cardinals. Because
they have options, right?
Right? Because like, it's set in stone that they're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. They lost DeAndre Hopkins a couple of years ago. They lost Hollywood Brown this year, and he ain't no DeAndre Hopkins. So Kyler Murray has no weapons. So you give him the arguably the greatest talent, probably the best player in this draft, regardless of position.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison. Yeah, 100%. And a team that actually performed better than expected as well last year under Jonathan Gannon as a first-year head coach.
And Josh Dobbs was like their quarterback.
And when they got Kyler Murray back, they beat the Eagles, yeah. Right? They beat the Falcons, right? They performed well. So why wouldn't you get Marvin Harrison Jr., right? In order to terms of the draft, I think the top 3 have to be quarterbacks, right? Williams, May, Daniels, or whatever it is. I think the top 3 are quarterbacks, right? I don't see the Patriots passing up on a quarterback.
No, but there's like, you know, rumors going on.
And I don't see who's Washington passing up on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? So if I were to predict my first 5 picks, it would be Williams, May, Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, I'll say my first 4 picks because I don't know what the other Chargers are going to do.
Yeah.
So those are my first 4 picks of the draft.
Yeah. Let's talk about Indy very quickly. What's your priority ranking of whoever drops? Like, I'll say this. One of the wide receivers, the top 3 wide receivers drop, which is either Marvin, which is not going to happen, Romo Dunze, or Malik Nabers. Is it Brock Bowers? Is it a D lineman that, like, let's just say is Dallas Turner drops, or Jared Verse, because I know Shook is a big fan of him, or is it a corner? Oh, one of the top corners.
Well, if you talk about need, right, it has to be cornerback number 1, right, in terms of position. But I don't think you could pass on Brock Bowers. I definitely don't think you could pass on, like, a Neighbors or anyone if those guys fall. I do like Verse as well. When I watch some, like, highlights from Florida State, he does stand out for me. And I think edge rusher is definitely a need for the Colts as well, because I don't think we have a dominant guy on the edge. Obviously, Buckner in the middle is Buckner's D tackle. So that's a different story. But yeah, quarterback has to be the number one priority if you're looking at Colts position. Then I'll probably say weapon. And then I'll probably go with edge rusher as my third.
I might go, okay, I agree with the corner, but I might lean a little bit elite playmaker. Only because I think our need is more safety, right? I'm fine with Juju Brents. Let's see what Jalen Jones does. So because of that, if it's between Bowers or one of the other two guys.
There's no safeties up here, so you have to say corner.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I might lean playmaker. That's the only reason why.
You know, it just depends, right? I think
obviously, whatever they deem the best player available is, trade up, trade down.
I think you're in a good situation of, like, if you're staying at 15, right, just take the best player available. Like, yeah. Bowers does have the potential of being.
As long as it's not available. A running back or a quarterback, yeah.
A running back, quarterback, or a linebacker.
Listen, I'll take a lineman, old lineman too. I don't care. But that's like the least of our priority, though.
Yeah. It's more old lineman's issue is more depth, so that's why
they might trade down.
That's for sure. Fourth. That's like the fourth thing. Like if I were to pick four, it's cornerback / secondary, whatever you want to say. But secondary, then I'll go with a playmaker, any type, tight end or wide receiver. Then I'll go with the edge rusher. Then I'll go with O line depth, more specifically on the more emphasis on the depth, right? Because at the end of the day, I think Ryman could get the job done, and he's shown he could get the job done. We have Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly bounced back, Beta Smith when healthy was really good last year. And right guard is a little bit of an issue, but that those guys have fillers, so that's why you need depth.
Yeah.
Especially on the right tackle side, because Brandon Smith has been injured.
Yeah. All right. We'll cap it there. We'll be back tomorrow recapping Stanley Cup playoffs and recapping the first round of the NFL draft as well. And if any trades like Ayuk gets traded happens. So we'll be back tomorrow for sure. So make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. More podcasts coming out. You know, like we mentioned before, our schedule is going to be a little messed up, especially in the first round because of all these games going on. And we're trying to give you guys the best content possible. So make sure you guys just hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. So you'll be notified.
Hit everything except the dislike button.
Yeah. And if you're subscribed, do not hit it again because then it will unsubscribe.
Yeah.
We appreciate everybody watching. Make sure you guys follow our socials linked down below and download, rate, and review if you guys are listening on any audio platform as well. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Peace.